Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
And the little fruit is basically a person that's unclean, they're a Christian, they're living dirty, they're living in a place that's unproductive because they're living in sin.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We conclude our study of the I Am's of John as Pastor turns to John 15. We'll look at the significance of the statement, I am the vine.
Look at your Bibles. Let's look at this passage here. I think it will be an understandable point to you that we are called to be cultivated. When he said, I am the vine, really what he's talking about, we in our Christian life are called to be cultivated because Jesus is the source of all of our productivity. This doesn't come out of us. This is not of us. If you're a Christian, God wants to help you to be productive, and he's going to cultivate your life in order to do so. How does this work? Let me ask three questions with you, and if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so. Let me give you these three questions, and I bet you could ask these three questions like the mini text. Number one, what does it mean when it was written? In other words, historically, what was Jesus talking about? Very simply, when you look at this, it is there on the hillside. He's walking down the hillside, and he makes the statement to his disciples somewhere in the line, stopping along the way, and he says, listen, there is this statement, I'm the true vine. And it brings great history to his statement because they immediately knew there's something big here. John documents when he said, I'm the true vine. Notice verse 1, my Father is the husbandman. It's the only time the I Am statement is connected with the Father. And then he makes this statement here very simply, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. What does he mean by this? What is that metaphor? Notice, let me give you a second question beyond what it mean when it was written historically. Number two, what does it mean today? Currently, how do you make application? When you read the scripture, Jesus does this for us. And this is what he very simply says. He says that number one, the vine, the true vine. Jesus is identifying himself as the genuine vine, the only source of spiritual life. And then he says, the vine dresser is God the Father. It's pictured here as a busy, active, faithful gardener working in his vineyard. What does it mean to us currently with the vine dresser, the vine, the branch? Here's what he means when he says in verse 2, here are, and he identifies four groups or baskets, if you would. And he's saying to those disciples, and he's saying to us today, listen, here is where you are one of those four. He says, first of all, every branch in me that bears no fruit. Is it possible? Jesus is now talking to his disciples. Judas is gone. They have proved themselves to be committed to who Christ is. Every one of them had ultimately been martyred in one form or fashion. And he now, Jesus, says to them, listen, I don't want you to be as this first element with no fruit. And notice he says, every branch in me. Now, he's not talking about not in Christ. Are you with me? Here's what he's talking about. Christians, evidently, this Christian in Christ, notice verse 2, what does it say? Every branch in me, read it out loud with me, that beareth no fruit, no fruit, no fruit. Then he says he's going to take it away, but every branch that, notice, what does it also say that what? Bears fruit. In other words, there's a little fruit, and then he says he's going to purge it, that it may bring forth, what does it say in your Bible? Bring forth more fruit. So there's a third basket. There's no fruit. There's a little fruit in here. There's more fruit in here. And then he says, notice if you would in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches, as if they didn't get it again. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth what? Much fruit. You can do nothing. Notice if you would in verse 8, so make sure he got it again. Herein is my Father glorified. What does it say in your Bible that ye bear? Much fruit. And he says in verse 16, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So evidently, he is saying now, disciples, listen, there is varying levels of production coming out of those branches and much fruit. So how is he going to get a Christian, a child of God, from no fruit to, oh man, this is like, whoa, a lot of fruit. What did he mean by all that? What is the process to go from here to here? You know what Jesus tells disciples? I'm going to get you from there to there. I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. Here's what Jesus says it's going to take. Look at your Bibles, verse 15. He says, first of all, you know what I'm going to do? If you're bearing no fruit, what does the Bible say? It says he what? Takes it away. What does that mean? A long time, I was very confused about this. Even some commentaries would give a suggestion that he's talking about Judas here. He took Judas away. I don't think so. I think he's talking about Judas in verse 6. I think what he's talking about is a Christian, because the very word taketh away can be interpreted in a variety of ways. There's four ways. I don't have time to walk through all of them. But I believe the same word for taking away is the same idea for lifting up. According to a resource, in antiquity, they did not have wire or lattice work as we do today. Unfortunately, the Greek word for lift up is the exact word for takes away. Many a Bible translator would be well served to study the indigenous agricultural methods of the Palestinian vine dressers on Mount Judah, who still preserve the ancient technique today. And it is true. You can go to Israel and you can see the same thing happening. Doing this causes them to drop new roots, and they don't want them to drop new roots. So what they end up doing is purging it or lifting it up. Here's exactly what that means by that. If I've got a vine and I'm the vine dresser, and I'm like, you know what? This is not producing. This is not, I'm getting no fruit from this thing. But I love this vine. I mean, I just like, I've been working this thing for 5 years. I'm not going to let it do that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lift it up. And a vine dresser would take stones, they would stack them up, and they would lift them up. And as they lift them up, it would get it off the ground so that you wouldn't have moss and insects, and you would end up getting it dirty, so they would have enough air to flow underneath here so that it would end up producing something, not scrawny little mealy mouse grapes, big, luscious, flourishing, juicy, succulent grapes. I love this vine too much. I have investments into this. I had to purchase these things. I've been working at these things 10 years before I get anything out of this. You think that's a mild view of a vine dresser, a father? So he says, I'm going to lift this thing up. I'm going to get this up here because I'm going to get you going. I'll wash it off. Well, fact is, look at your Bibles right here. Verse 2, every branch of me that bears no fruit, he's going to take it away. He's going to lift it up, in other words. He says, verse 3, you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. He's going to clean that vine up. Then he says, from no fruit, what about those that are producing a little fruit? What about that one that says, okay, listen, here's a little fruit here. At least there's no fruit. There's a little fruit. Am I going to leave it there? Listen, the second thing the Father said to do in his care of the vine is to purge it or to prune it. And in Greek, this word is karthariso. In other words, it means to cleanse, to make clean, or to purify. It is given us our English word catharsis. Normally, this word would indicate the act of cleansing the vine of anything harmful to it, insects, moss, and so on. And in addition to this, this can also mean to prune or to cut. So what the disciples are hearing Jesus say is, listen, I care about you so much, I'm going to end up pruning you, or chastening you is another word used in the Bible. Fact is, I'm going to make sure this is going to happen. So Hebrews 12, if you want to turn to that, let me just give you these 3 degrees. This is what God said, I'm going to do because I want to lift you up. I'm going to prune you. I'm going to end up doing this. Now, there's degrees of that, and they're very simple. He says in Hebrews 12, 5, my son, talking about relationship here, do not be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. So the first degree, he's going to rebuke you. He's going to end up giving you a verbal cue, like the mother with the child. Don't do that. Then he says, earlier in verse 5, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. In other words, it's interchangeable with the word discipline, that he will end up pruning you, as in the John 15, but it's the same idea of chastening you by putting you into a place of the degree of discipline so that you would end up being an obedient child, or in the metaphor here, you would begin producing. And then he says, if that doesn't work, then he says in verse 6, and he's going to scourge every son whom he receives. The scourge is to whip, to inflict punishment. It's the same word the Gospels use to describe what the Romans did to Jesus. In other words, if you're a son, there's times he's going to spank you, as we would know it. So he says, well, listen, you're no fruit. He's going to speak to you first. He's going to look at you. My father, many times I'd be sitting over here and I wouldn't be doing something right. And I'd glance at my father and he'd give that evil eye. And if that didn't work, he'd eventually have to say something to me. And if that didn't work, then what would happen? Out the door and bingo. Bend over, son. The belt. Who likes to get the belt? Nobody likes to get the belt, but you know who gets the belt? The one that didn't get this. Or then hear this and listen and obey. Now you got to get spanked. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, if you're here, I'm going to do things to help you produce fruit. I'm the vine dresser. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to end up taking care of this. So I'm going to say, okay, all right, okay, I'll take care of this. Because you know what? I love you. So I'm going to just, trim you up a little bit here. I'm going to trim you up right here. And, because you know what? What he's talking about is these little runners. There's things that are taking you from no fruit. And the little fruit is basically a person that's unclean, they're a Christian, they're living dirty, they're living in a place that's unproductive because they're living in sin. Jesus said, I'm going to end up disciplining you because I'm not going to leave it just as no fruit, little fruit. I want to get you more fruit. How am I going to get more fruit? I'm going to discipline you, chasten you. Look at your Bible, it's number 3. It says not just no fruit, little fruit, but then more fruit. I want you to have more fruit. The end of verse 2. And he may bring forth more fruit. You're clean through the word, and I've spoken unto you. Now, what does he mean by that? There's a difference between chastisement and the idea which is chastisement means I'm going to deal with you because there's sin there. I want you to eliminate the sin. That chastisement is because there's sin there, and I want repentance. Repentance is not just an act. It's an attitude. Why? So that he would be able to get things cleaned up, or as we can say it, eliminating small foxes. Song of Solomon, in the relationship between he and his wife, said, hey, I don't want the small foxes to spoil the vine. I'm going to lift you up and get you above this so that I don't have these little varmints coming in and nipping away at the fruit that's young. I'm not going to get you off here, so I'm going to get you clean off of the floor here so that you are starting to give more fruit out so that you will end up being more productive. And that chastisement for sin and the repentance, eliminating small foxes, is very similar to the pruning process. That pruning process is now not dealing with sin, it's dealing with yourself. And he's doing this so that you would increase the size and the surplus of your produce. Because he wants you to have much fruit.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.